You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Friday, January 5th, and welcome to Game of the Year week on Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill video game podcast. My name is John Wall, and every day this week I have been counting down my favorite games of 2023, as well as highlighting some of the other great things that I've been doing throughout the year. And I am so happy to have you here today, because on this episode we are down to the top two games of 2023. And to make sure that you never miss an episode, you can go subscribe to the show, which is available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And while you're there, I would appreciate it if you left a review to help spread the word about the show. Also, if you'd like to chat about today's episode, tell me how wrong my list is, or just talk about games, you can find me on Threads and Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. So every day this week, I've been opening up the show by sending out some positive vibes. And all this week, those positive vibes were going out to some of my favorite developers of the year. Teams who have created some awesome and entertaining works of art for us to enjoy, and I wanted to take this time to thank them for all that they have done. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Nintendo. Now, that might be cheating a little bit, because when I'm talking about the year that Nintendo had, I'm speaking more about them as a publisher, because I kind of find it slightly hard to keep track of which internal development teams are working on which projects. But hey, it's my show, and I can do what I want. So Nintendo had what I think was maybe, probably, the best year that they have had since year one of the Switch. Just wall-to-wall bangers like Metroid Prime Remastered, Fire Emblem Engage, Advance Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, Pikmin 4, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and there's one more game I can't think of. I'm sure it'll come to me. And it was crazy impressive how strongly they finished up the lifespan of the Switch. And yes, I know that we still have some more Switch gaming to go, but we're getting pretty close there. So kudos to them for helping me keep my Switch charged up all year long. All right, here we are, day five of the Midlife Side Quest Game of the Year Top 10. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's not waste much time. Let's go over what we have done this week so far. And at number 10, we had Final Fantasy 16. At number 9 was Coral Island. Number 8 was Hi-Fi Rush. Number 7 was Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Number 6 was Marvel's Spider-Man 2. Number 5 was Starfield. Number 4 yesterday was Pikmin 4, and number 3 is Alan Wake 2. That is a great year of video games, and it made choosing the order of these top two games incredibly tough. Either one of them would have made a great number one, but after much deliberation, I had to make a choice, a tough choice. And my number two game of 2023 is Hogwarts Legacy. Now, despite this game being received quite well by critics and being one of the best-selling games of the year, it seems to be almost completely absent from Game of the Year discussions this year. And I get it. I know why that is. And I know why some people aren't playing that. And that's fine. Everyone has to make a choice about that. I'm not going to rehash my opinion on that and why I'm fine playing the game. I'll just say that if you are interested in hearing that conversation, go listen to episode 22, where I talked about the game originally. Now, as far as the game itself goes, it's absolutely stunning. It is a monumental achievement, and it is the game that fans of Harry Potter have been waiting years for. When setting out to make the ultimate game set in that universe, the developers wisely decided not to touch Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and instead set the game in the late 1800s with a brand new cast of characters, which gave them the creative freedom to do whatever they wanted with the story. You play as a character of your own making, letting players live out their Hogwarts fantasy by choosing who they are, what wand they choose, and picking which house they belong to in the school. The one thing all players will have in common is that their student possesses the ability to use a long-forgotten form of ancient magic, and they get sucked into a mystery to discover why they can control it and who might be trying to get their hands on this powerful form of magic. You'll explore the entire school and all of the grounds, and it was so much fun to find all of the classrooms and the areas that fans know so well. I was geeking out every time I found this little nook and cranny from the films that I recognized. And the attention to detail that they put into this world, it's just remarkable. From Hogsmeade to the Forbidden Forest, you'll want to go and see every inch of it, which I think I nearly did with the 100 plus hours that I put into the game. You'll be attending class, making potions, riding your broom, all of the things that you would dream of doing around Hogwarts. Except for Quidditch. There's no Quidditch, which I would have to assume is something that they made a decision to save for a sequel or an expansion. Developer Avalanche built a full-fledged RPG here, complete with loads of side quests to do, like finding rare magical creatures, gear and cosmetics to collect, and finding tons of collectibles scattered all around the world. And I did as much of that as possible. It really is a great action role-playing game at its core, and it just so happens to be set in one of the most popular properties of all time. The story is really good. The characters you meet are fun and interesting, and it's just so damn fun to explore this world. I don't think I spent more time with any other game this year, and it's everything a Harry Potter fan could have hoped for. So Hogwarts Legacy is number two. And that brings us to number one. And I think it's, like I said, it's amazing that this game not only stands out in what has been an incredible year for Nintendo, but that Nintendo has managed to bookend the life of the Switch with two absolute masterpieces. Two games that complement each other so perfectly, fitting together like yin and yang. The first of which is obviously my 2017 Game of the Year, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, followed by my 2023 Game of the Year, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. What I find so remarkable about Tears of the Kingdom topping my list this year is that leading up to its release, I wasn't like super hot on the game. In all of the trailers I had watched pre-release, I hadn't really seen what that hook was going to be that was going to pull me in. And I thought that the game, you know, was looking rather old, you know, being the end cap of a console that wasn't exactly pushing the limits of graphical horsepower, even when it first released. But once I played it, once I got my hands on it, man, that Nintendo magic was all over it. The genius of that team over in Kyoto was clear as day, and I felt silly for ever having doubted them in the first place. The game shares a lot in common with the last game. The main Hyrule map is very similar to what it was before. The basics of combat haven't changed all that much. Yes, your weapons will still break. And you'll once again be gathering food and ingredients to cook meals and potions. But it is in three very specific areas that this game elevates to new heights. No pun intended. First of all is the world map. In addition to the Kingdom of Hyrule, which we all know and love, you now have an entire sky filled with floating islands to explore, as well as a very intimidating underworld, an area that's completely dark until you find a way to illuminate things. These new additions more than make up for the similarities that the map has with the previous game, and it makes you rethink how you're going to go about exploring the world. Second is the crafting system. Yes, I said crafting, and yes, I said it's a highlight of the game. Oh my God. Using your magic arm to lift things, you will find pieces of old technology all over Hyrule and combine them with basically anything in the world to create everything from weapons to rockets that will launch you up to the floating islands above. The sheer variety of things that you can create, combined with how easy it is to snap pieces together, creates a playground of unlimited possibilities. I don't know how many times I slapped some things together to try and get past a puzzle or defeat an enemy, and I was shocked when it actually worked. Whenever I found myself stuck somewhere, I could usually think myself out of the situation by experimenting with what items I had on me and crafting them together. It's truly genius, and I don't know how they did it. Third, and most importantly, is the story. I love the world of The Legend of Zelda, but it's usually because of the lore and the characters, not necessarily because of the plots or the specific stories of the games. But this time they created a story that absolutely was amazing and I found remarkably compelling and powerful and emotional. Instead of just telling it chronologically, you'll discover memories hidden around the world, and by collecting them, you will piece together the story like a jigsaw puzzle. And I was shocked, honestly, by just how effective I found the story. I think it's by far the best Zelda story they've ever told. These three things together add up to a formula and a world that was already one of my favorites of all time, and they created a game that sets the bar for everything that comes next. I honestly don't know what they do next in the series, but I imagine you have to just kind of start from scratch and create something completely original now, because I don't know how you could ever top what they did here. The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom is my game of the year for 2023. That does it for Game of the Year week, and I want to thank all of you so, so very much for what has been a super fun week and really a fantastic year. I cannot tell you how much it means to me to have built this show and a community of listeners around it, and I really, really appreciate you all. My first full year doing the new show was fantastic, and I really feel like I'm in the groove now, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. The show will obviously continue to evolve and change here and there, but I think what we're doing here works really well, and the feedback that I've gotten seems to indicate that you guys like this new format as well. I can't wait to see what 2024 has in store for us, and I look forward to finding out together with you. Thank you for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I really appreciate you taking time in your day for me. Don't forget, you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for me on Threads or Facebook. So until next week, be well and happy gaming.